Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, December 3rd, 2021. South Sudan's first vice president, Riek Machar, says the country is not ready for a credible elections in 2023.
People talk of elections. There are prerequisites for elections to be conducted because you want free, fair, credible elections. If you do not have unified forces, then you don't have security for the elections.
And authorities in Jonglei State say a known disease is killing people and livestock in Fangak County.
People are dying in Fangak County. There is certain death. It started on 2nd of October within New Fangak Town, which is the headquarters of the county.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's first vice president and leader of the main opposition group, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, says it will be impossible for the country to hold elections in 2023 without graduating and deploying a unified army to handle security for the elections. Riek Machar says that it is only when the country has a unified security forces that elections will be secured and people will feel confident enough to participate in the vote. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino has more from Juba.
Riek Machar says his party does not recommend that South Sudan prepare for elections before the parties to the peace agreement graduate the unified forces. He says unless the security forces are unified, the South Sudanese people will lose confidence in the way their leaders are implementing the peace agreement and in their safety. Speaking at his SPLM-IO party's National Liberation Council meeting in Juba yesterday, Machar said the parties are implementing the peace agreement slowly. He says Chapter 2 of the peace agreement, which talks of security arrangements, is its backbone. He says even if the parties succeed in forming other government structures without implementing the security arrangements, the new setup would be shaky and could affect the upcoming elections.
People talk of elections. There are prerequisites for elections to be conducted because you want free, fair, credible elections. If you do not have unified forces, then you don't have security for the elections. There is these days a debate, can the elections be conducted without unified forces? Personally, I say no. You need to secure the environment in which you conduct elections. So for elections to be conducted, first requisite is you have the security.
Machar says the failure to graduate the unified force shakes the confidence of the parties and the public. He says if phase one of the unified forces are graduated, then the rest of the activities will be implemented faster and people will begin to trust that the agreement is being implemented and large numbers of refugees might start returning home. He says it's essential to have refugees back home before having elections.
We have a lot of refugees, just our next neighbor, south. There's more than 1.1 refugees in Uganda. They will need to come back. In Kenya, nearly 600,000. In DRC, over 150,000. In Central Africa, over 100. Ethiopia, over 700,000. Sudan, nearly 2 million, if not above. All this, if you want to conduct elections, they must come. They must come back. And you resettle them and you conduct the elections.
Machar says it is also important for the government to conduct a census to know the country's population before rushing into elections. He says the geographical demarcations of constituencies is not yet clear as some members of parliament were just incorporated into the assembly when South Sudan got its independence for the sake of accommodating those who were in Khartoum.
Another prerequisite for elections to be conducted is census. We now have, at the national level, we have an assembly of 550, National Assembly, and the Council of State, 100. These are arbitrary figures done to resolve crisis. But if you are to go for elections, our population is let us say, is 15 million. Our members of parliament, the National Assembly cannot be 550. It would be very small, maybe half of that number.
Machar says the constitution also needs to be ready so that an electoral law can be formed in line with the current agreement. Under the 2018 revitalized peace agreement, the unified forces composed of opposition and government forces were supposed to be graduated before the end of the pre-transitional period, which ended in February 2020 with the appointment of Machar as first vice president. The elections are to be held in 2023 after the unification of the security forces. For VOA News, I am Moini Sirino in Juba.
Authorities in South Sudan's Jonglei State are calling for urgent intervention as people and livestock die in alarming numbers in Fangak County. A World Health Organization coordinator in Jonglei State says his agency has taken samples from the affected area and will work with the National Health Ministry to investigate. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Fangak County Commissioner Bitruth Biel says since early November, dozens of people, mostly children and the elderly, have died after experiencing symptoms including diarrhea, vomiting and heart pain.
People are dying in Fangak County. There is 7 days. It started on 2nd of October within New Fangak Town, which is the headquarters of the county, and also within surrounding villages of Fangak County. Anytime person dies, especially the children, the young ones, and the elderly people, that's where so far we have lost over 90 people. The record that I have, 90 people have died. We are wondering whether it is the impact of the oil explosion or something else.
Commissioner Biel says cattle, sheep, and goats are also dying in the area. He says the area has been submerged in floodwaters for some time, and local officials suspect the death could be linked to toxic water pollution caused by an oil spill.
The cattle and goats, they have been dying because of water. They don't have anywhere, they don't graze anywhere. So you could see them, they are all grazing in the water. Some people are taking their cattle to Malakal, that area, a dry area. Some are going to Fiji County in the side of Canal, the Fiji County. So some have gone across the river to Chologland, as far as Ruweng administrative area by going up to Wunkur and all this. So these are challenging times now for Fangak County. Cattle are real dying. And as a result, it will become difficult because that's the livelihood of the people.
Commissioner Biel says he wrote to Jonglei State Governor Dine Jok Chagur about the death in Fangak, asking for an urgent intervention. Dr. George Wani Wori, the World Health Organization coordinator in Jonglei State, says WHO visited the area recently and has forwarded its findings to Juba.
We are aware about it, so the ministry at Juba level is supposed to issue a statement. So I cannot really comment on it at this point. WHO has gone there, and we will still be sending people. But I cannot really comment in anything.
Tuang Majuk, the acting governor of Jonglei State, says he has notified national authorities about the situation in Fangak County after visiting the area with the WHO and UNMISS officials.
A team of World Health Organization and UNMISS and other agencies, plus myself, went to the location of New Fangak where the outbreak has taken place, and came to the surface of the water like oil, and that's why people are saying that is oil. We reported this to the national government because they said have no those experts. We reported to Minister of Petroleum and Minister of Environment, so that they go to the location and see by their own eye what is the cause of this eruption.
When contacted for comment about the death and symptoms reported in Fangak, Dr. Victoria Anif Majur, a spokesperson for the National Health Ministry, said she is aware about the situation, but her ministry has yet to receive official communication from the local leaders in Fangak. Acting Governor Majur says an investigation must be carried out immediately to avert a catastrophe. Ascom is an oil and gas corporation from Moldova that operated in the area but left the country after the start of the conflict in December 2013. Majuk says an environmental impact assessment has not been conducted since the petroleum firm stopped operations in Pangak County more than 7 years ago. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Still on health matters, the World Health Organization says it is stepping up measures to contain the spread of coronavirus new Omicron variant in Africa as COVID-19 cases spike in South Africa and move to other areas on the continent. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Since the recent discovery of the Omicron variant in South Africa and Botswana, this fast-moving strain has been detected in Ghana and Nigeria. This rapidly mutating virus also has spread to more than 20 countries globally. The World Health Organization has recorded a 54% surge in COVID-19 infections, mainly in southern Africa, coinciding with the detection of the Omicron variant. The WHO's Regional Emergency Director for Africa, Salam Gay, says South Africa and Botswana's rapid action in detecting and alerting the world to the new variant has given the world an early start in mounting an effective response. He says countries must seize this window of opportunity to act quickly and ramp up detection and prevention measures.
At WHO, we are urging countries to increase genomic sequencing, ensure that laboratories have sufficient equipment and staff to accelerate analysis, and that screening of point of entry to enhance so that cases are detected early and appropriate clinical care provided.
Gay says the WHO is working closely with countries to support surveillance and contact tracing, infection prevention and treatment measures. One of the big unanswered questions is whether existing vaccines are effective against this latest strain of the coronavirus. Africa, however, remains short of life-saving vaccines. So far, WHO reports only 102 million people in Africa, a continent of 1.2 billion people, have been vaccinated. Anne von Gottberg is a clinical microbiologist at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, South Africa. While no conclusions have been made as to the efficacy of vaccines against the Omicron variant, she says every effort should be made to inoculate as many people as possible.
Vaccines have always held out to prevent severe disease and admission into hospitals and death. And that's the reason why our final message really about this variant is to consider the basic principles of what we should be doing. We should be vaccinating as many people as we can so that they can have vaccine-induced protection.
The WHO calls the combination of low vaccination rates, the continued spread of the virus, and mutations a toxic mix. It says the Omicron variant is a wake-up call that the COVID-19 threat is real for everyone. The health agency is urging wealthy countries to send more vaccine supplies to African countries so they can provide greater protection to their populations. This, it says, also will help prevent the infection from crossing international borders. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, 15% of the world population is living with some form of disabilities. That story is lined up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what puts a smile on your face?
I have a group called Lishi. It's a group full of young children. So when I dance with them, it puts a smile on my face. Makes me happy.
What puts a smile on my face is good food and good people.
Okay, when I see good food and good friends around, well, I smile.
My husband really puts a smile on my face. He cracks jokes. He likes cracking jokes, and that makes me happy.
One thing that puts a smile on my face is to see somebody who's been in trouble or who has had great challenges, and then he has broken through, his life is better, their lives have improved, their marriages, their business. It brings joy to my heart to see people becoming better.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Today is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and the United Nations says more than 1 billion people, approximately 15% of the world population, is living with some form of disability. The UN says 40% of Africa's population consists of people with disabilities, including 10 to 15% of school-age children. As Morino Jiambo reports, in Kenya, there are more people with disabilities living in rural than urban areas.
The annual observance of International Day of Disabled aims at promoting the rights and well-being of persons with disabilities in all scopes of society and development, and to increase awareness of the situation of persons with disabilities in every aspect of political, social, economic, and cultural life. In Kenya, data from the 2019 census show that 2.2% of Kenyans live with some form of disability. Jane Theory is 36 years old, was born with a condition known as osteogenesis imperfecta. She asks the society to offer space for persons with disability.
It's only that persons with disabilities, they have a different mechanism of doing things, but at the end of the day, they are able to deliver. Persons with disability, all we need for the is just for the society to accept us. For long enough, we feel like we've been relegated to the back.
This year's theme is leadership and participation of persons with disability towards an inclusive, accessible, and sustainable post-COVID world. Theory, despite the challenges, she managed to pursue her studies up to graduate school and currently holding an assistant county commissioner position in Kenya's Embu County.
So it was quite a challenge for me to actually focus on my studies, because most times I was going through so much pain. Career-wise, I currently work with Ministry of Interior as an assistant county commissioner. I'm the center manager for Embu Huduma Center. Parents who have children with disabilities, focus on investing in your children who have disabilities, because without education, we can't really achieve much in life.
Disability is caused by many factors, including malnutrition and disease, and the number of people with disabilities continues to increase. Jen Denga, the Chief Executive Officer, Disabled Empowerment Society of Kenya, became disabled at the age of 5. She says it was difficult for her while growing up.
Disability itself was not easy for me because I had not accepted who I was. But through high school, I came to realize I needed to do something that will change my life as a person and not as a person with disability. But coming to college level, I went to the college, the same thing, being stigmatization.
While disability correlates with disadvantages, not all people with disabilities are equally disadvantaged. Much depends on the context in which they live. Jen Denga says she has won medals for Kenya as she is ranked the best wheelchair tennis player in Kenya.
I started volunteering in different organizations and I came to realize that we have disability sports. And from there, I joined disability sports. I started with basketball. I started specializing in wheelchair tennis after trying all the disability sport games. And I was elected to represent wheelchair tennis in Africa region.
The social stigma associated with disability results in marginalization and isolation. And Jen says her family was told that she was a curse.
It wasn't easy for my parents. So it's something that really brought even issues in the family, and even the issues of curses, even issues of myths, that dealing with the society itself is another problem. Being treated differently even in the family, I sense that, because you can find that you have visitors, you'll be told to hide yourself, which was not right.
On this day, Catherine Asarian, Projects Manager, Federation of Kenya Employers, has urged employers to ensure persons with disability are engaged in decision-making at organizational level and their voice considered for better accommodation in their organization. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling on all countries to fully implement the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, with the active involvement of persons with disability and their representative organizations. Reporting for VOA, I am Morino Jiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
We always value your comments on issues in this program. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. This listener says, "Hi, VOA. called me Kundaki Ibrahim from Sudan. I asked God that the two neighboring nations, South Sudan and Sudan, is switched to the best for all than worse for your citizens, because the whole world is fed up with the complaints from the two countries. Saber Isaac Khamis in Yembio town of South Sudan says, Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. The resumption of peace talks with holdout rebel groups is a positive move, but the challenge is how possible will it be? Because even the current reconstituted government hasn't finished with key provisions in the agreed peace agreement. Let them at least do 80% of implementation of the current agreement. Martin Manuel Wogol, who is a journalist in Uganda, says, The great Sudanese singer, songwriter, and poet Abdul Karim Al-Kabli has passed on. His revolution, nationalism in Sudanese folklore shall be missed. Rest in peace, hero of Sudanese music. James Roy Majok from Unity State in Bantu Town says, Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus by remote program. The worst case scenario is the one of COVID-19 variant Omicron that is on the rise in some African countries, especially South Africa and Nigeria. Africa should not be panicking about the COVID-19 variant Omicron. The World Health Organization should focus on advising travelers for protection measures. Jacob Dior Machueng from Rumbek Lake State says, The counter blames between the SPLM-IO and the SSPDF on who has influenced the defection of the forces is a sign that there will be no unified forces after their graduation. If the SPLM-IO knows that their forces are going to protect the same citizens of South Sudan, why should they blame the other side when officers leave their camp? The peace mediators should look into this issue before we citizens are cheated about the unified forces. Ayen Yag Dao in Sherkat Juba says, The authorities in Jongole State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area need to go to the grassroots in dialogue with the armed youth to eradicate the cycle of ambushes along major feeder roads, which claim many lives in the last 2 months. And this listener says, Hello John and Nabil, thanks for the good work you are doing for our country, South Sudan, and Africa at large. Guns were not the reason for not implementing the peace agreement, but our government is unwilling to implement in order to frustrate the peace. Those who deserted IO to government are given vehicles and money. Therefore, the UN Security Council should maintain the arms embargo on South Sudan to reduce the insecurity. Ayom Yuang Ayom in South Sudan Jongole State Bor Town Block 5 says, I request the national government, especially His Excellency Mr. President, to appoint military governors for Jongole State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area to prevent our civilian population from attacking each other. Let our state be like Warab and Lake States. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bor Town writes, I'm appealing to Jongole State and Greater Pibor Administrative Area MPs, both at national and state level, to put the security of their constituencies as a priority, because this conflict needs a home-based solution. Otherwise, hearing of road ambushes and child abductions will not cease from topping the news in media houses. Samuel Remo in Yei says, Hi John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I am very pleased by the ongoing dialogue organized by Honorable Commissioner at Magu Payam between the government and its people. This is a good system that can enable people to talk directly to their government as a wakening bell rather than people going on demonstrations, which will cause violence at the end of the day. Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town writes, The lack of livable salaries and welfare for uniformed personnel are the main causes of discrimination against certain communities, cattle raiding, child and women abduction, and involvement of uniformed personnel in politics. Isaac Tang Dak in Bantu Town writes, I don't know why our leaders are the best mediators when it comes to other countries' issues while our peace is always in jeopardy. Let us all know enough is enough. People of this nation are determined to talk only through the ballot box in the future election. We want completely new faces across the presidency. And this fan says, Hello Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. This is Simon Mawich from Bor Town in Jongole State. This matter of military personnel in the military training camps for years without graduation, and at the end they will be graduated with sticks and not guns, said the president. Kiir will not provide any help to protect the peace implementation and peace process. Mabor Alat Rengo from Rumbek Lake State says, I congratulate the governor of Lake State, Rin Twain Mabor, for being given an award as the best governor of 2021 at the Governor's Forum, which ended on Monday, 29th November 2021. He deserves this award because Lake State is the peaceful state among 10 states of South Sudan. Keep this good security. You're the only governor that practices the rule of law as human beings are guarded by laws. Yaba Musa from Yei River County, Central Equatoria State says, I really don't believe the resumption of the Rome talks will bring a lasting solution to end this senseless war in this country because the warring parties are always turning deaf ears to what they sign and the suffering of people is always on the rise, most particularly for the people of the Greater Yei area. And finally, this listener says, hello John and Nabil, call me Manyang Simon from Juba. The issue of gender-based violence needs to be dramatized properly to the heads of South Sudan, most especially men because they are the cause of gender-based violence here. We need to understand as men that disability is not inability. Without woman, no man, and vice versa. Hence, equal rights to PWDs and women needs to reach the peak. Stand up against GBV. Stand up and fight for the right of women of South Sudan. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate all your comments. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Nabil. Please keep your comments short and we will air them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Kini J and his song about coronavirus.
أسمعوا لرسالة قوية من مجموعة مملكة الوحدة والسلامة الترفيهية. كيني جاي, there we go! Coronavirus, بي مرض بطال. Coronavirus, بي آيان خطي. Coronavirus, بي مرض بطال. Coronavirus, أو بيك تولنا. Valiko wa aizol algasma fi ognede kanita gioshur be aradzede kedeta baliku nefsataki le agrab marka sihi jambuita lenas al umon masuma an ayande yahu kini jebiguna utakumbi yasuma fi radio wa fi aye makan coronavirus se marad batal coronavirus Ayan khati coronavirus de marat batal coronavirus obiak tulnas coronavirus COVID-19 de ayan bata fi dawla sin Corona, de ayan mindo ilaj. Corona, de ayan gikatulunas fi alokulu. Lakin kanita deru ahmi nefsataki min corona. Kalita maselimunas beden wahudun kaman. Kalita wansatu mageni manas fi mahal wahit. Kolokan fi zaman ale itakan dauru fi mahal kedir. Wale mesu haja kasulu idendaki besabun.
We have been listening to Kini J and the song Coronavirus. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us this evening into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.